Investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe will join us. She's got some incredible stories as we talk about earthquakes, what's going on this planet. The 51st anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy is coming up rapidly. And, of course, more on the animal mutilation stories that she has been following for so many years. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. As you know, Linda also had a story about sirens and large sounds in Atlanta. Strange things going on. Linda, welcome back.
You know, in the past few weeks, George, I have received so many unexplained booms, rumblings, trumpets, and metallic scrapping and scraping reports, along with periodic sightings of unidentified amber, red, and other colored aerial light.
Strange.
Yes, and sometimes these appear at the same time, meaning that there's phenomena in the sky, on the ground, in the air, all happening at once. And this combination of phenomena has been reported frequently since January 2011 all over North America. But in this era of terrorist threats and national security excuses to spy on everyone, neither American nor Canadian government leaderships have acknowledged the hundreds of reports and growing concerns of their taxpayers. And I want to give you just some highlights between November 1st and November 20th. Early November, Mauna Loa Mountain on Big Island of Hawaii, Joan Ocean of Dolphin Connection International emailed about being waked up several nights by, quote, hearing sounds like a large heavy metal structure being slowly towed along a concrete road, close quote. We've heard that from dozens of people over the last 3 to 4 years, that same metallic scraping sound. November 6th. 5 a.m., 2.9 magnitude quake in Fresno, California, near Squaw Valley, as well as an unusual surface swarm of quakes in northwest Nevada near Vaya, 22 miles east of Cedarville, California. November 11th, a quake swarm south of Mount Lassen Volcanic Center, which is 140 miles southwest of Cedarville. The next day, on November 12th, a 4.8 magnitude earthquake throughout Kansas and felt by six other surrounding states at 3:20 p.m. Central. The next day, November 13th, also near 3:20 p.m., a mysterious boom was heard in Salina, Kansas. The boom shook houses, and people said that it sounded like a car had hit their home. The USGS said no earthquake activity. The Smoky Hill Bombing Range reported no bombings, and the Westar Energy Company said there had been no transformer explosions. The next day, November 14th, at almost the same time again, between 3:15 and 3:30 p.m. Central, Mobile, Alabama, and Gulf Coast residents reported a loud explosive boom, but again, USGS said there was no seismic activity, and the weather was clear. Also on November 14th, further north in Wausau, Wisconsin, an Earth Files viewer emailed me and said, quote, it is 3:33 a.m. Central Time, and I have been hearing a strange trumpet-like or foghorn-like sound accompanied by a metal grinding, scraping, or banging effect randomly throughout the night, close quote. Sunday, November 16th at 7 p.m. Central, loud earth-shaking booms around Dayton, Ohio in Warren and Montgomery counties. No explanations from 911, local police, fire dispatchers, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, the local utility companies, or Dayton's Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Wednesday, November 19th, around noon, residents heard a very loud boom in St. George and Hurricane, Utah. And then that night, 3.8 and 4.2 quakes hit the California Central Coast near San Juan Bautista, only 5 minutes apart. Thursday, November 20th, another 2.9 quake hit San Juan Bautista, and there were more noontime booms in St. George and Hurricane, Utah. A Nellis Air Force Base spokesman said the booms were not caused by Nellis operations. Also, between July and November 2014, the California town of Cedarville's 514 residents have been reporting swarms of small earthquakes associated with ominous rumbling sounds and periodic sightings of amber and red lights in the night sky. Cedarville is in the Surprise Valley at the northeastern corner of California, where the state lines of Nevada, Oregon, and California meet. Over the last 2 years, Cedarville eyewitnesses have seen as many as 70 amber and red lights at one time moving in patterns in the sky, often for several minutes and seen by many witnesses. One longtime Cedarville resident and private pilot who has seen the lights, heard the low rumbles, and felt some of the earthquakes is 48-year-old Curtis Rose. Since 1999, Curtis has owned and managed the Surprise Valley Hot Springs Resort and is restoring the Modoc County 100-year-old courthouse. He is familiar with heavy construction equipment sounds and vibrations and says what he has heard and felt is different. He says some people think the low rumbling sounds are coming from the sky, but he thinks the low rumbling is coming from below ground. Here now is Curtis Rose from Cedarville, California.
My last three sightings, I heard this audible rumble, and it comes on slow. You barely hear it at first, and it's a very low frequency. To me, it sounds like it's coming on the ground or under the ground. It kind of sounds like the afterburner of a jet, but it will crescendo to the point where we thought that the ground was shaking. Along with the low frequency, I think I'm hearing a mechanical sound. And so it's very strange. I'd see lights prior to the low rumble, and then I'd see lights after the rumble. Different types of lights. I'd see orange orbs. And then we see just white lights that a person would mistake for a planet, and then they take off. And then when these lights happen, numerous friends of mine, we call each other on the phone so we can try to triangulate. And also up towards Fort Bidwell, not only seismic, but a friend of mine had his whole house shook, and it was more like a wave of energy. It was a shock wave. It slammed doors. About broke a window. I've heard numerous stories of that happening north of our valley. That was last year.
So what would be producing air bursts on houses on the ground?
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm in the center of the valley. I have a friend on the east side of the valley and a friend on the west side of the valley. We'll all get on the phone. One thing we have noticed is on the east side of the valley, we will see, we just call them tail lights. And it's a very small pinpoint red light. It doesn't blink. And you'd almost mistake it for a light on the tip of a wing of a private airplane. But I know it's not. I got my private pilot's license soon out of high school. What I am looking at, airplanes can't do. As soon as we see the red tail lights, soon after that, we see the orange orbs up to the north of the valley. And those will just come on, and they'll turn off, and sometimes three will come on, eight will come on, sometimes there's just one.
Another Cedarville resident, who has asked to be called only Cindy, was with her husband and six other friends for dinner a year ago in October 2013. That's when they were all eyewitnesses of several amber lights in the night sky. Cindy said the lights were yellow-orange and came on one at a time, making a straight line in the night sky, while the end lights turned on and off in a sequence that reminded her of a relay race, or even, quote, like something was shooting something out, close quote.
I saw the unusual lights, is what we like to call them, or weird lights, amber lights coming on and then just turning off. We pulled over off the road trying to figure out what it was. We also had some friends with us that had gone to dinner. So there were eight of us. And then it would go away, and then new ones would show up, almost like in a line.
What was the largest number in a line that you saw at one time?
Probably about 7 or 8.
How long did the 7 or 8 hold this position of a line?
Each light would be on for several seconds, I'd say 3-4 seconds, and then the next one, and then the next one.
Was it like a relay race where one would go out and another one at the end would come on?
Yes.
Is it simultaneous that the far right one then immediately comes on when the other one goes out?
I would say it was almost simultaneous, maybe for half a second they'd both be on.
How long do you think it took for the sequence of those 7 or 8 lights to come on and go off until they were gone?
Oh, maybe just a minute.
And what was the conversation among the 8 of you about what it was you were seeing?
We had no idea. There's no way that could have been an airplane. It almost looked like something was shooting something out the way it was in a straight line, but the way the lights went off and then the new one on, that didn't explain it.
And I've seen the red taillights move north up Hayes Canyon, and then they'll come back down south of Hayes Canyon. Soon after, you'll see the orange orbs. And back to the thundering sound, that will last maybe a minute and a half. And so to me, I correlated that there was a connection, like, between military and something interplanetary. That's what I felt.
Can you explain that a little more?
Well, the sound on the ground to me felt man-made. But then the lights that I see up in the sky, to my knowledge, we don't have that technology. One night we saw up to 70 lights. I had numerous witnesses with me. With the binoculars, there's so many more lights out there than you'd ever guess. And through the binoculars, I saw orange orbs, and they would ooze out in front of them. Say an orb was moving left to right. Well, to the right, there was more orbs, like, oozing out and popping out of it. I know it sounds weird. You have to see it to believe it.
Like a mother craft releasing smaller craft?
Exactly. And it almost felt to me like it was definitely energy of some sort, in like a liquid or plasma form.
You mentioned lava lamps. Can you apply that to what you're trying to describe?
Definitely. Yeah, just like a lava lamp.
So more like blobs oozing as opposed to hard angled craft.
Correct. I never felt fearful. The unidentified lights didn't, should I say, bother me as much as that low rumble. When I felt the ground, what I thought was shaking, I could feel the rumble in my chest. And that was more unnerving to me than any UFOs that I've ever seen.
What we're all trying to understand is, are we dealing with non-human technologies that have some vested interest in humanity and the Earth? And that there is something happening, say, in the core of the Earth or the mantle that advanced technologies are trying to cope with and reduce the impact? Or are the lights representing other intelligences that might be causing the rumbles and the changes in the Earth?
Linda, there's some sort of correlation. I mean, it's the million-dollar answer we're all looking for. You know, we've had this swarm of earthquakes for the last 6 months. We had a 4 point last night. The other thing that comes to my mind is that we are sitting on so much water in our area. And when we run our heavy equipment, like our D8 tractor, our ground just shakes. There's just a lot of artesian water. So could there be water associated? Could it be associated with the geothermal hot springs? The one thing I do know is I see a lot of UFOs.
Mm-hmm. Hot springs imply that there is mantle activity, lava activity coming up near the surface underneath Cedarville. With all of the seismic activity in the last 3 or 4 years, and swarms in Yellowstone, and some USGS maps indicate that there might be some link between the Yellowstone caldera area and where Oregon, Nevada, and California come together. Have you ever talked with anybody in engineering since you built the Hot Springs Resort about whether or not the hot water itself is tied into the rumblings, the earthquakes, and geological activity?
We're just now getting ready to ask those questions, I think. Seismologists came into our valley. I have close friends, professors at UC Davis, who work with our geothermal waters. As these earthquakes continue to happen, we're all starting to get together and talk about this and brainstorm and try to make correlations, much like we do with the orange orbs and the low rumbles. All we can do is keep trying to see if is there a pattern here.
Suddenly, from July to the current date, there have been, as I understand it, at least 700 seismic events in the Cedarville region, and that during the time of the seismic activity, you and your colleagues in Cedarville have not seen the amber and red lights.
Correct. And as we're talking, Linda, that brings another thing to mind. The location of the lights from my hot springs are northeast. Okay, that's where we're seeing most of our orange orbs, is to the northeast of Surprise Valley Hot Springs. It's funny that the earthquakes are also to the northeast.
Mm-hmm. And what specifically is right under where people are seeing the amber and the red lights?
Up towards the north of the valley, up towards the California-Oregon line, and east out towards Nevada. And there's also MOA out there, which is a military operations area, northern Nevada.
What do they do?
It's called Heart Mountain MOA, and I've heard stories where folks have driven out there and got pulled over and asked where they were going and told never to come back.
You know, George.
Never to come back, Linda. That's fascinating.
What is our government doing in some of these military installations?
Yeah.
I hope to protect us. But how, in the last 4 years, the weavings of all of these reports, Canada, the United States, and other parts of the world, actually, you have heard many of the same phrases. Constantly, we are hearing that military bases say it's not them, that there is no weather explanation, 911, and all of the authorities know nothing. And it's been going on now from January 2011, and we're about to go into New Year's Day, January 2015. This is 4 years of continual phenomena. And now what we're going to hear in the next half hour from Gene Bilodeau, who is a writer in Cedarville, California, and reports for the Murdoch County Record, Gene has been talking with seismologists about what could be causing all of the quake swarms in Surprise Valley and Valle Nevada and Southern Oregon. And one of the surprising possibilities is scientific data that links the Yellowstone hotspot through an arc of calderas that are ancient from Wyoming all the way to the Cedarville region. And the deeper I have gotten into this story, the more I think of my interview with Professor Arianna Gleason at Stanford University almost 2 years ago now, asking about whether or not the booms could be related to that whistleblower out of Hill Air Force Base in Utah, going to an intermediary to tell me that there is a change in the Earth core, there is a change in the mantle, and that this whistleblower was trying to say that he thought that these booms and metallic sounds and all were linked because infrasound that you can't hear with the human ear would come from inside the Earth, go outside the Earth's crust up to the ionosphere, and be bounced back to focused areas.
I'm looking forward to that story, too, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we are sure proud of our television program as well, Beyond Belief. And you can watch many programs by going to this website and sign up, beyondbelief.com. If you haven't taken a peek at it yet, go ahead and do it. And if you've got the ability to put it up on your big flat screen, you'll really like it. BeyondBelief.com. Welcome back. Linda Moulton Howe with us. Linda, this other story, how close are we getting to a danger at Yellowstone?
Well, what I have learned from talking to people at the Yellowstone Volcanic Observatory is that swarms there have happened through history.
Yeah.
And unless swarms begin to change in up to, say, a 5 magnitude or above and increase at those levels, they are really not expecting there to be magma coming through the surface. If Yellowstone suddenly started swarms that were 5 and above, that probably would begin what they say would be a program to let people know that maybe they should leave if they're anywhere near the caldera. And as far as I know, at this point, there's nothing yet alarming. But in Cedarville, from 2012 to this day, they've had hundreds, thousands is now what they say today, of these small quakes, and the swarm that's been going on since July 12th has never stopped, and they've been seeing an increase in magnitude recently, but all have been very shallow near the surface of the Earth. In fact, the phrase is that they are at zero in terms of depth in many of them. 11 occurred yesterday, November 20th, and 2 were in the magnitude 3.0 range. All the persistent seismic swarms over the past 4 months have provoked scientists from USGS and Stanford University, UC Berkeley, UC Davis, and the University of Nevada, Reno, to visit Surprise Valley to take temperatures of the many hot springs that run the length of that valley near Cedarville. And the results have been puzzling. Recently, and only in this month of November, the same hot spring can measure 150 degrees Fahrenheit or hotter one day, but the next day measure much colder and then rise to a midpoint the next day and then soar back to 150 degrees Fahrenheit or higher. So far, no one knows why the Surprise Valley hot springs are suddenly so changeable, but they assume they are somehow related to the seismic swarms. On November 12th, the Associated Press headline, quote, earthquake swarm linked to stretching of Earth's crust, close quote. The swarm location is focused where California, Nevada, and Oregon join state borders. And on the California side in Surprise Valley, since mid-July 2014, more than 1,000 small quakes have put the public and seismologists on edge about what it could mean. And along with all the small quakes, Cedarville residents have heard an ominous low rumbling sound before or after the earthquakes. Many people wonder if the quakes and rumblings are connected to all of the unidentified amber and red aerial lights that came night after night after night in 2013. And then, strangely, once the earthquake started in 2014, the lights have almost completely disappeared, except for twice so far. By the first week of November, there were nearly 50 earthquakes centered around the active Mount Lassen volcano, 143 miles southwest of Cedarville. Modoc County Record writer, reporter, and author Gene Bilodeau, 71, has been investigating unidentified aerial lights and high strangeness in the Cedarville region for 30 years. On Tuesday, November 17th, Gene talked by phone with seismologists from the University of Nevada, Reno, who are collaborating with the U.S. Geological Survey and had sent technicians to put out more seismic sensors. Gene herself has felt the quakes, heard the deep, disturbing rumble, and seen hundreds of the bright, glowing aerial lights, and wonders if there is any connection. Here now is Gene Bilodeau from Cedarville, California.
I've seen huge, what I consider huge lights, and like one evening I was leading my horse back in out of the pasture, and one of these big lights appeared in front of us, I would say 8 miles away, and the horse stopped and started snorting at it to challenge it, whatever it was, and then it went away.
What is it about these lights that stand out to you in terms of color and size, let's say from airplanes, stars, or planets?
They're completely different, and they will be amber or white, yellow. Once in a while, there's a blue one, and they just glow. They're bright, and they're beautiful, and then when they expand and split into two, or they'll line up in the sky, and then tilt on their so-called horizontal axis, the whole group will turn up, or three or four will go on to the right of your vision, and then to the left more will come. It's a wonderful type of interaction. They are never very high. I would say they never get more than 20 degrees off the horizon, most likely just barely above the mountains.
When did it seem to shift gears and become linked to this low rumbling sound?
Well, last year, there was a low rumbling sound connected with it. And if you heard the low rumbling, you knew lights were coming. And it was a very, very low frequency. And even in my house, the house would start to tremble. Now, across the lake at the hot springs, and the people who live on the east side of this valley, they could hear it stronger. I would assume that this noise or this rumbling is coming out of Nevada. Only this year, since July 12th, have we started having frequent earthquakes, and I would say in the thousands of earthquakes. Now, the biggest one has only been like a 4.7, which we can feel here in Cedarville and Fort Bidwell to the north of us, and probably in Oregon because we're right at the corner of the three states. The low roar connected with the earthquakes, it's about a month ago, I decided I would drive out there to see just what the ground looked like because 95% of the earthquakes showed a depth of zero. I never heard of that, so I drove out there with a friend, and we stopped, and I shut the motor off on my pickup. And the minute we did that, we heard this very low rumbling. It sounded almost mechanical to us. There was no Doppler effect at all. It was just a steady, rather loud, low rumbling roar type of thing. And it only lasted 20, 30 seconds. And then my dog barked and the noise shut off. There are no active mining permits issued by BLM in that area. There are no people up there. In fact, the day I drove up there, after leaving Cedarville, we didn't see anybody. We didn't see anybody all day.
So you're really in a rural area on this investigation, and I wonder if you could compare what you yourself have heard with your own ears.
It's just low rumble. Don't think I've ever heard anything quite like it. It would be like a huge generator or grinding machine or something big. It's a big sound, such a low, powerful sound. The rumbling with the lights, it isn't quite as intense as what we heard with the earthquakes. And it's a little different. It's more like a shaky, real low cross between rolling thunder and a jet engine blended together. Again, no Doppler effect.
From your own personal experience living in Cedarville, can you talk about what has been the single most dramatic combination for you in the last 2 years in which you were seeing lights and hearing some kind of a rumbling?
Okay, I thought one of the most dramatic ones was last year in October. It was a wonderful evening. And the little red ones came, and then they were followed by, within 5 minutes, with the large white and amber orbs. And we saw 70 that night.
70?
Yes.
Wow.
And, you know, after about 70, we lose count. Because then, you know, you're going, oh, my, look at this. Oh, no, look at that. I told the deputy several years ago, and within a month, he drove into my house and said, we saw him, we saw him. He was so excited about seeing several of them.
And this is a deputy sheriff.
Yeah. and he was with another deputy sheriff, and they were all excited about it. Now, they had also, just in that time period, had reports of the low rumbling. They spent several hours looking for this low rumbling sound and couldn't find it. And that was up toward Oregon.
What are you learning from seismologists just in the last day or two of this mid-period in November of 2014?
We are experiencing thousands of earthquakes. The number of them have increased. In fact, the latest news release was that 2 weeks ago they told me that the area had experienced thousands of earthquakes, but they couldn't keep up with the posting. This last week, they came out with a news release saying that during this last week, this area had experienced more earthquakes than the previous 4 months combined. And then at that time, Mount Lassen, which is considered an active volcano, started having earthquakes down there near it.
And do the seismologists suggest that there might be magma coming up to below the surface at Mount Lassen and Cedarville and Via and that whole region, as if maybe there is going to be more volcanic activity?
They don't suggest that for here, but they always preface everything with they cannot predict or forecast what is going to happen. Although they do admit that it is a rather long swarm because it's been going since July 12th. It's just increasing in magnitude, but still the largest I think was only a 4.7, but we're registering them right at the surface. And then it dawned on me that we haven't seen the lights, but we had started experiencing earthquakes. Now, whether that is connected, I don't know. The lights generally come from one direction.
Which direction are they coming from?
The northeast.
That is Via or above Via?
Yes, Nevada.
Okay, now if you can explain what has been happening this month and last month in terms of seismic events and these ground sounds, and explain that USGS has actually sent people there and Stanford University scientists.
Stanford University has had a field station here for 20 years, and they're studying the stretching of the Earth's crust to the northeast of us. And also, we have earthquake faults here. We have lots of hot springs. It appears in the last week or two, we've had two mud pots show up, explode, and go back down, and at this time are no longer mud pots within the last week. These are just bubbling out of the ground, and you can walk over to them. This one caretaker of this spring has indicated to me that although the surface temperature of the water coming out of two springs, one at 150 degrees Fahrenheit and another at 105 degrees, has become extremely hot. I guess 150 is fairly hot, but even hotter than that, bubbling out of the ground one day and then being cool the next day. These have been hot springs from, I believe it's 14,000 years ago. It's one of the oldest inhabitations of Native Americans in the United States, and they camped near the hot springs. So to have this hot spring suddenly go cold and then back to normal and then really hot is a little bit of concern. I talked to a seismologist yesterday, and he said it's really difficult to tell what's going on underneath. He said the plumbing does get changed when you start experiencing earthquakes. And even though we're 40 miles away from these earthquakes, we're still feeling them. So it's difficult to say what is going on.
If you have had temperature changes in the water under Cedarville, which has a lot of artesian wells, and if Mount Lassen in November has had seismic activity, you would think that the USGS scientists would be able to confirm mantle rising up closer to the surface that would explain this?
I don't know. They're going to come out this next week and establish more seismic stations in this area to better monitor the earthquakes. But most of them say at least our area is probably not volcanic. Although I don't know how you would exactly define volcanic, because we certainly have a lot of geothermal here with the boiling springs.
So USGS in the third week of November, they are going to send some scientists to put out some more seismometers and other technology.
Yes, they are.
So they are concerned about Cedarville.
I don't know if it's Cedarville, but they're concerned about this area. Another interesting thing, the Stanford University field station has been exploring calderas in that specific area and just east of it, and have connected this area with Yellowstone, and the plates have shifted. But in their scientific study, they can trace the calderas in kind of an arcing line from Yellowstone back to exactly where these earthquakes are happening.
And George, at my Earth Files report tonight, part two, are the 2014 seismic swarms and strange rumbles in Cedarville related to the Yellowstone hotspot? If you go to that report, it's filed under Environment and Science, and you go down to the bottom, I have two extraordinarily interesting maps that have been created and produced for work that was done by universities studying this area, and it shows in yellow from Yellowstone these calderas, ancient in origin, but if you can see this, you can see the arc moving right across Wyoming, Idaho, the northwestern corner of Nevada, and touching into the northeastern California area. And the idea is that this is a study of these areas, the calderas extending from Yellowstone, that mark kind of an intersection on this map with what are called basaltic dikes, and that what they're looking at in these two maps are interactions that all add up to papers that have been published in the last, within 2 or 3 years mostly, that there probably is a current link between that Northern California, Northern Nevada, and Oregon area to the Yellowstone hotspot. But what would be causing the seismic swarm in the thousands? That was in the press release Jean sent me. That's the word that's being used. And she stressed, they're not keeping up. You're not going to see USGS with thousands of these small quakes from Cedarville and Via and that area because they can't keep up with it. But it raises a very interesting question in relationship to these strange lights. In this report, Jean sent me a few of her own photographs. One of them is a light that was taken June 5th this year, right over her house. And below that is a very long looping trail of light in a time lapse that she took in June of 2011. And back in 2011 and 2012, they were going out a lot at night with just every once in a while still photo cameras, and most of that was still. Last year, there was so much activity that they didn't use still cameras, they just used video cameras. And a lot of the issue in getting all of the photographs from 2013 is that they're tied up in videotapes, and people aren't able to get them around to computers yet, but I'm working on getting some. But when you look at this June 2011, and then go to November 2011, and there are still photos of the strange amber color, the red color, lights in the sky. The thing that hit me on some of Jean's time lapses was my standing in Stephenville, Texas, in January of 2008, watching with my own eyes as multicolored lights were flashing in the sky and leaving photographs that look so similar.
Linda, we're going to come back. This is the 51st anniversary of the assassination of JFK. We'll be back.